Good afternoon. I'm Michael Kelly. Let's go ahead and get started with this session. I'm going to be talking about Linux, managing Linux with System Center, and a little bit else with PowerShell DSC. I like to start my sessions with the Microsoft Loves Linux slide. This is a great slide. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella actually put this slide up in a briefing with press and analysts about a year ago now. And I think it really captures the change, the new approach that Microsoft has to Linux. And in fact, I've got some stickers, I've got buttons up here that I'll be giving these out at the end of the session. So I'll put some up front here, and anybody who wants one is welcome to come get one and take it back with them. So this is the kind of the theme of this session, if you will. At a top level, we realize in your data center, in your cloud operations, you operate Windows workloads, you operate Linux workloads, and frankly, from your standpoint, you just want them both to run great. You're not fighting operating system wars. You're not make an argument for one versus the other. You want them to run great. You want to be able to manage them together. And this is sort of the new attitude that Microsoft is taking toward Linux at this point and toward the open source workloads that you may be running in the Linux environment. So we've heard what you've said as customers. We've heard the feedback in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. And so we get it. The focus of this session is going to be primarily in the on-premises world, Linux that you're running in your data center, managing with System Center, and I'll do a little bit about managing with PowerShell DSC as well. In that data center, maybe you're running a traditional environment, you're just running on physical servers. Maybe you're virtualized either on Hyper-V or somebody else's hypervisor, could be VMware, for example. Maybe you're actually using the Microsoft Private Cloud. You're using Hyper-V with Virtual Machine Manager and the Windows Azure Pack. And in all of those environments, you're welcome and able to use the System Center components, Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, to manage those Linux instances that are running in those environments. And of course, in the public cloud in Azure as well. So the focus on this is managing those Windows workloads in that on-premises environment. And again, not really touching on the Azure side of the world, except briefly, I'm going to deviate from that course at the end a little bit when I talk about PowerShell DSC. I am going to talk about stuff that is new in System Center 2016. The Apache monitoring, the MySQL monitoring, is a new management pack that's part of the 2016 release. So from an agenda standpoint, I'm going to give a little bit of an overview for, what can System Center do with Linux today? Maybe you're not familiar with the Linux capabilities that are in System Center already. And then we'll talk about managing Linux applications, and we'll focus on JEE, Java App Servers, we'll focus on Apache, focus on MySQL, and a little bit about extensibility. How do you go beyond just what's built into the management packs that Microsoft provides? Talk a little bit about sort of what's new in the 2016 release, what other new things there are for the Linux and Unix support in System Center. And then talk about automating application configuration. And this is where we're going to talk about PowerShell desired state configuration, PowerShell DSC, which exists for Windows, has been ported now to Linux, and I'll show you how you can do some management with PowerShell DSC on the Linux side of the world. So let's talk about sort of just a quick overview of what you can do with Linux today in the Microsoft environment. And we talk about running Linux, and we talk about managing Linux. So running Linux, you can run Linux as a guest operating system on Hyper-V. We have what's called the Linux Integration Services, LIS. These are the Linux device drivers that you need in order to run on Hyper-V. Those drivers are built into a good many Linux distros these days. These are developed by Microsoft. We push them up to the upstream Linux kernel as maintained by Linus Torvalds. And then we work with the Linux distro vendors to get those drivers incorporated into the Linux distros. So Red Hat, CentOS, SUSE Linux, Ubuntu, Debian Linux, Oracle Linux. So there's a whole set of distros there that we work with. And so these are jointly supported by Microsoft and the distro vendor. Also in running Linux, then, we've got System Center Virtual Machine Manager. That's kind of your fabric manager, of course, coordinating across the Hyper-V hosts. System Center VMM will happily manage Linux guests running on Hyper-V, just like it manages Windows guests running on Hyper-V. VMM can do specialization, so that if you take a template and create 10 virtual machines from that Linux template, They'll each get separate host names and separate IP addresses, akin to what you can do with SysPrep on the Windows side of the world. And so you can deploy and manage those VMs and services with Virtual Machine Manager. And then, of course, Windows Azure Pack is the user interface, the tenant user interface on top of VMM to complete that private cloud. And guess what? Azure Pack works with Linux VMs just like it works with Windows VMs as well. So we've, again, made Linux a first-class citizen in terms of the capabilities that we offer for managing Linux VMs right alongside Windows VMs in your environment. If we shift and talk about managing Linux, so this is what happens inside your Linux instance. System Center Operations Manager does that day-to-day monitoring of the health of the operating system, the performance of the operating system, monitor the log files, monitor your line of business apps, and this is where I'll focus some definite time in this session here today. System Center Configuration Manager, get inventory of the hardware that you're running on, particularly relevant if you're in that, still running Linux on a physical environment. Create inventory-based collections, distribute and install software. These are all the normal things that Config Manager knows how to do. So I can push out a new version of the Java runtime environment, the new JRE package, out to a set of Linux and Unix machines using Config Manager. The inventory mechanisms, the reporting mechanisms on inventory and software distribution from Config Manager, they work in for Linux machines, Unix machines, just like they do for Windows. Data Protection Manager, System Center component, to do backups, live backups of virtual machines running on Hyper-V. That works for Linux machines as well. And that's one of the things I'll talk about in the session that I'm doing after this session in particular. And then, of course, Desired State Configuration is not System Center branded, but that's a key component also in being able to do configuration of Linux machines. And we'll talk about that here later in this session. So that's a quick overview. If I'm going to deploy Linux applications, what are my choices available to me? And so certainly System Center Configuration Manager is there. Push out an application using the software distribution feature. Create classic Config Manager packages and programs. Program in this case will be a command line. That'll be a Linux command line that you're going to run. So maybe you're going to push out an RPM or a tar file or even an arbitrary set of files that you're going to install with a shell script. So you can do that. You can use System Center Virtual Machine Manager and Azure Pack. VMM has this concept of run once command lines that you can execute in your Linux virtual machine once you've deployed it with VMM. And so these command lines are Linux command lines. You can access the network. You can grab packages off of a repo. You can install them. You can configure them, et cetera. A whole great deal of flexibility that you've got there. And then, of course, you can bootstrap into another configuration manager. Puppet is out there. Chef is out there. A whole set of open source sorts of products and capabilities that lots of people like to use. From a Microsoft standpoint, if that's what you've got an investment in, if you've got an investment in Chef recipes, that's what you like to use, party on. We're happy to have you go use that. But again, this is where DSC can plug in, PowerShell DSC, to do automated software configuration. We're going to talk about monitoring applications, and this is where we're going to drill down now into the monitoring piece of this. The Operations Manager value prop on Windows, really is a slam dunk. It's a great product. We provide management packs for all your Microsoft workloads, for SQL, for IIS, for Active Directory, Exchange, et cetera. And the good news is now on the Linux and Unix side, and I say now for a number of years now, we've had those same kind of management packs for your Linux and Unix operating systems. It's actually been 6 years now since we first shipped the Linux and Unix operating systems. There are literally, hundreds of thousands of Linux and Unix servers around the world today that are monitored with Ops Manager in production environments. We have not, to date, had too much that goes above the operating system level in the open source space. And this is one of the things that we're emphasizing in the 2016 release, as we bring in MySQL and Apache, so that you can monitor the LAMP stack. So we want to be able to give you that ability to have Ops Manager do the end-to-end, do the whole stack for you, not just the base-level operating system capability. And so in the application monitoring space, we've actually had monitoring of Java app servers for a couple of 3 years now. They were first released as part of the System Center 2012 release, and now we're going to be adding the MySQL databases and the Apache web server. The Java app servers, to drill down a little bit more, we have management packs for the top four Java app servers. So that's Tomcat, Red Hat JBoss, IBM WebSphere, and Oracle WebLogic. And you can see from the chart here, you can manage those, monitor those application servers running on Windows. So even if you're not really in the Linux environment, but you're using Java on a Windows environment, we have those management packs to let you monitor those app servers. And then, of course, across the different Linux distros that we support, we have the management packs for those app servers. And then a little bit in the Unix space. So, of course, Oracle WebLogic, Oracle Solaris, we've made that pairing there if you're running WebLogic on Solaris. And then in the IBM space, you may have WebSphere running on AIX. And so we've made the pairing in that space as well. So let's, you know, the quick ability that these management packs give you, the base level monitoring of what's going on with the app server itself. So this is not application monitoring. This is sort of monitoring your IT infrastructure. I'm the guy, you know, I want to make sure that the app server is up and running, that it is responsive, that the resource utilization of the app server makes sense, that it's in line with my expectations. And so that's the focus of what we're offering there. We do have this ability to delve into the MBean structure, the management beans, which are a Java concept. And so if you're running applications on your Java app server that do make use of MBeans, we're actually able to drill down and monitor values coming out of those MBeans. If you've got an application that has a queue, and maybe it maintains an MBean which sets the queue, specifies the queue size, you know, how many entries are in the queue. And hey, if the queue gets larger than 50, that indicates I got a performance problem. You can easily, in Ops Manager, create an alert if that queue size based on that MBean value gets to be larger than 50. So let's take a quick look here and bring up a demo. But unfortunately, my demo is back in Redmond and it's not working real well at the moment. And so I'm going to have to move to a recorded version of the demo here. So this is a view of the Ops Manager console. And unfortunately, this one's kind of small. But you can see at the top up there that we're monitoring a Java app server. This is, in fact, the JBoss Wildfly app server that's up there. And we've got information on the port number and the HTTPS port and the version and so forth of that Java app server. When you install the management packs for the Java app servers, they will do the normal Ops Manager ability to go out and discover the app servers that are running out there in your Linux or Unix or Windows environment. And so we'll discover the app servers and collect this base level information about those application servers. And so you can see full path names and host names. We also have the ability to go deep into the app server monitoring. And so we call this deep monitored configurations, as you can see that's highlighted there. We install a Java servlet into the app server itself. This Java servlet is called BeanSpy. And it goes into the MBean store to pull out more detailed information about what is actually happening out there on that app server. And so the deep monitored configuration lets us see, for example, what applications are out there on that app server. And so in this particular case, you can see that BeanSpy is listed there because that's an application written in Java. It's open source out on GitHub. And then there's another application out there as well. We're cycling through some of the performance statistics that are collected here, the garbage collector performance statistics, heap memory information about my Java app server, the just-in-time compiler, other kinds of thread information. So this is all collected via that deep monitoring capability so that you can see what's going on in your Java app server. Now, maybe you want to do some custom monitoring. This takes you into that custom MBean monitoring. And so we're going to go into the authoring pane and do some availability monitoring based on an MBean for an application that's actually running on that Java app server. And we don't have to modify the application at all. We're simply going to go look into the MBean store. And so we're going to go do this template to monitor app example here. And the first thing we're going to do, this is all from the Ops Manager UI, is we're actually going to go scan the entire MBean store. Pull out a bunch of information, and so this runs for a couple of minutes, about 30 seconds in the background. And so we're going to bring forward the entire tree structure of the MBeans that are available on that Java app server. So no need to go into JConsole. You don't have to go log into the machine with the Java app server to pull out this information. It's all available to you right in the Operations Manager console. And so you can end up with a tree structure here with a whole bunch of different MBeans that are available. And you can drill down, see the individual properties on those MBeans. And then what we're going to do in the next screen here, give this a second. Yes, yeah. So this is where you can actually determine the health state. So we're going to pick a particular property off of that MBean. We're going to pick the one of the monitoring status properties there. And if the value is equal to 10, then we're in good shape. If we can see other values that we can choose that it would indicate a warning state or a less than healthy state on my application that's running there. And then, of course, once we have set up the different health states, what's healthy, what's warning, what's critical, then we can create, define an alert that we want to have generated when something happens that indicates that there is a problem. So again, this is the alert setting screen, and that enables us to create a custom monitor in about 5 minutes, for example, to monitor this particular Java application that I am running on my Java app server. So let's, and then of course, you can also go and view the entity health. These are all the monitors that are built into the management pack that we provide. So we're monitoring the availability. That's this particular custom monitor, checking to see that the value is a 10. There are other monitors that are built in as well that are part of the management pack that you get from Operations Manager. All right, I'm going to shift off of that and go back, and let's move forward then into some of the next topics. So again, these new management packs for Apache, for MySQL, are part of the technical preview series for System Center 2016. Technical preview 3 is available. This is really the first wave of open source monitoring that goes beyond Java. We're looking at additional things. MongoDB is on our list to take a look at, Hadoop, Cassandra, Redis, other things that we're hearing from folks. These are built using the same SIM provider mechanism that we have used for monitoring the Linux operating systems. We're definitely taking customer input as to what our priorities should be going forward. We're getting work underway. Looks like MongoDB is going to pop to the top of the list for us to start with. So we hope to have a management pack out for MongoDB here in the coming months. These won't be tied. They will be dependent upon the 2016 release, but we'll be able to do additional management packs as time goes on that won't be specifically tied to that release. So if you take a look at the new MySQL management pack, this also works with MariaDB, which is very plug compatible, if you will, with MySQL. We will dynamically discover your MySQL servers, just like we would do with your Java app servers. We will auto-install the appropriate Ops Manager agent if SQL Server is present. And then we will monitor both the MySQL Server itself as well as the individual databases. So we're monitoring cache performance, table cache performance, other optional metrics. The InnoDB, which is kind of the underlying data storage mechanism, the buffer pools there. So we're pulling out the key information about your MySQL server. You can also, if you want to, there's the ability to do extensions based on custom stored procedures that would be installed so that you can, if there are custom values, again, that you want to pull out of MySQL and use those for monitoring purposes, those are available to you as well. Architecturally, again, the big box kind of on the right, the OMI server, that is the Ops Manager agent as it runs on Linux, and it consists of several providers, the operating system provider, the file system provider, the process provider. Those are the base level providers for monitoring the underlying Linux or Unix operating system. And to monitor MySQL then, we've plugged in a new provider, which is the MySQL server provider. It communicates via the MySQL client with the MySQL server database. So it uses standard protocols to talk to the MySQL database and pull out the statistics that we want to provide as part of the monitoring interface. You do need credentials then to log into your MySQL. They can be fairly low power credentials in terms of the capabilities. Simply want to be able to read the statistics about the performance of the MySQL database. You don't need to have any write privileges on that. So let's take a quick look at what MySQL looks like. And again, this gives you a view of the Ops Manager console. There are several MySQL database instances that are in view here at this point. One of them has a critical state. One of them has a healthy state. We'll give you a chance to kind of see the information that is collected on the different databases here. Is this moving ahead like it should? Yeah, here we go. What's it trying to do here? We provide some tasks in the Ops Manager console to help you do things on the SQL Server. That particular task lets you set the credentials that we're going to use to actually log into the MySQL database. You can specify the port value of 0 says all of the instances. In this case, we're going to, this little example here, if it's running, we're just going to set the MySQL password to root and the bind address. And this is all done from the Ops Manager console. We will reach out to the agent that's on the Linux box and push that new set of credentials out there to that particular MySQL database so that we can connect into it and pull up the parameters. You can see the information that's being collected down here in the bottom, the basic configuration file, where the error log is. If we open the Health Explorer on the MySQL database, you'll see some of the basic information that we are monitoring about MySQL. Different performance statistics that are being collected. The status monitor, this is where the basic information is coming back in terms of what the product is, the different version numbers. You can see the InnoDB buffer pool information, the server key cache information that we're collecting there. And then if you move down into the individual databases, so you can see this particular MySQL database, we've got a MySQL database, the information schema. Some of the databases that you see here, of course, are the utility databases that get installed onto every example of MySQL. I'm going to move forward here a little bit. You can see we've got some alerts that have been generated based on hit percentages, the full table scans. Those are generated by Ops Manager based on the default parameters. All of the level sets, if you will, the places at which, you know, where does an alert get generated, the values, those are all, of course, overridable using standard Ops Manager mechanisms. We'll deliver an out-of-box set of settings with the management pack, but then you can, of course, go in and override those, tune those to suit your particular environment. A whole variety of performance statistics that are collected here as well about the MySQL database. All right, I'm going to shift back again here now, and let's talk about the Apache web server. Very similar in some sense to the MySQL, following the same kind of pattern. We have a management pack. The management pack will discover the Apache web servers that are installed out on the Linux and Unix systems that you're monitoring. We'll monitor the Apache web server itself. We'll monitor virtual hosts that are under that Apache server. We'll monitor the SSL certs. This is particularly useful if the certs are about to expire. We know what the expiration date is on those certs. We can generate an alert for you, 2 weeks in advance, for example, put you in a warning state that your cert's about to expire, give you plenty of time to make sure that that cert gets replaced so that you don't have any service interruption on your Apache server. We use a standards-based management approach. We've actually built an Apache module that plugs into the Apache stack, just like dozens, hundreds of other modules that are available for Apache. The module is open source, as are the OMI providers. It says provider to be open source. That's actually happened already. So the architectural diagram, again, looks kind of similar. You will see the OMI server on the right. That's the agent that's monitoring your Linux system. We've got the Apache HTTPD provider that plugs in there. And then that's talking to a new module, module SimProv, that is now installed into your Apache server, along with all the other modules, mod PHP, mod SSL, et cetera. If you look at a, when we look in a minute here at the actual Ops Manager console, you'll see that there's dozens and dozens of modules that exist in your Apache server using standard practice there. And so, and again, in this case, we pull the data out of the Apache server and over into the OMI server via a shared memory interface. That provides us a very quick access to that data. We do not use the Apache modules that directly provide performance information. It turns out the data that they were providing just wasn't suitable for the purposes that we want to show in Ops Manager. And so this is one of the reasons why we have written our own provider here. And again, if we shift and take a look at the Apache side of the world, we've got several Apache instances here. No active alerts at the moment. We've got the, you know, kind of a summary dashboard. Most of these management packs have a summary dashboard that give you a top-level view of what's going on. Total requests per second, KB per second. These dashboards, of course, you can construct your own as well. We've provided several out of the box as part of these management packs. The Ops Manager console, of course, gives you that ability to build your own dashboards depending upon what you're trying to do. So we've got some HTTP servers here, and we can see individual statistics about those servers, what versions they are, what the server root is. And if we look at the properties, again, you can see the long list of installed modules there. Modsimprov.c is at the first of the list. That's, again, the one that we have installed in order to do the monitoring itself. Multiple virtual hosts. Then down underneath those individual individual servers, and so you can see the document root and the key parameters for each of those virtual hosts as well. Finally, if you look at the SSL certificates, okay, so here's one. It's this one is this was recorded a while ago. It's got an expiration date of November 2014. That will be expired by now, but that gives you a view of what the kind of the basic information you're going to get on that certificate there. The diagram view is particularly interesting for Apache because you do have that relationship between virtual hosts and the top-level Apache servers. And so the diagram view gives you a view of what hosts roll up under which particular server, what certs are associated with which virtual hosts. And so that gives you an interesting view of what's going on with your Apache server there as well. Let's let this show a couple of additional things here. We'll see some of the performance information here in a minute. This there is a task here to install the SIM module. Again, make that easy to do from your Ops Manager console to do that installation. All right, I'm going to move this along here just a little bit. Okay, yeah, we take a look at the Health Explorer. You can see the different things we're monitoring, both the Apache server itself, the virtual host availability. So again, we've listed each of the virtual host shows up here, that the configuration itself has not been modified or monkeyed with in some way that makes it invalid. And then performance information, percent busy workers. These are things at the server level, total percent CPU. And then within each virtual host, we can see, we'll come back to that in a second. This is checking the SSH, the SSL certificate. And then performance of each virtual host. So we're collecting errors per minute, total requests per second, web request total response time. You know, what's the response time on responding to requests that come in? Those are things that you'll want to track and potentially want to alert on if the values are out of scope or are above the levels that you want to have visible. You can see again, you can drill down to the individual performance counters that are available, select which ones you want to graph, and include those. So there's a whole long list of these that are available as part of the Apache monitoring as well. Let's see if there's anything else interesting here. Total response time. Operations Manager reports, again, work against these new management packs. There are reports built in. This is showing an example of running the different reports that are available. I'm going to go ahead and kind of step on through this. And the reporting capabilities. All right. Oh, reload Apache web server. This is a good one. This stops the server, restarts it, another task that we have built into the management pack. You may need to do that operation as part of the management of your Apache web servers. All right, let's shift back and do a couple of more things here. Monitoring other applications. You know, we talk about open source stuff that we're going to work on from a Microsoft standpoint. It's important to note that, you know, particularly in the open source world, as you go outside of the Microsoft world and the management packs that Microsoft provides, there really is an ecosystem for Ops Manager out there. And things like Oracle databases, at least three different vendors that are providing management packs for Oracle databases, a couple of vendors that provide management packs for DB2 databases. Managing VMware ESX. Veeam is here with a booth here at the show today. We even have management packs companies for AS400 and for Linux running on an IBM mainframe, or even just monitoring ZOS itself. So a number of different third parties that have built into this management pack ecosystem and extend beyond just what Microsoft provides. Most of this is commercial stuff. It's not really, strictly speaking, open source. But it is part of what you find as you go outside, of course, of the Microsoft ecosystem. And of course, you can build your own management packs, too. We find that particularly the larger customers that want to do sophisticated management of custom applications that they may have, or they want to tweak the management packs that either Microsoft or a third party has provided, you can go do your own management pack development as well. The other extensibility, of course, is via templates. So, you know, built into Ops Manager is this concept of a template, which is ultimately a wizard that you can walk through the Ops Manager console in order to walk through in the Ops Manager console to specify some values to create something a little bit custom that's not out of the box. In the Linux space and Unix space, we have provided a log file monitoring template. Allows you to pick a log file that you want to monitor. Maybe it's a log file from an application. And you can specify a regular expression for what you want to match in those log file lines. And you know, within a couple of 3 or 4 minutes, you walk through the wizard and you're able to specify a log file monitor, create a custom log file monitor based on whatever the path name is. Similarly, maybe you've got processes that you want to make sure that they are running. You want to make sure that the process hasn't died. And so the process monitoring template allows you to ensure that those processes that make up that critical application running on your Linux server are still up and running. And in some cases, you may want to have multiple instances of a process running. The Apache management pack, for example, uses this mechanism. You can make sure that you've got at least 4 HTTPD services or servers running. If you want to make sure you've got parallelism there. So you can specify minimum and maximum counts for the number of processes that you want to have running. And so those were the first two that we built. In the 2012 release, we introduced the command line, shell command line based template. And this allowed you to go out and run a single shell command line and either produce a numeric value coming back or produce a Boolean indicator of health. And so if you had a custom application, you could write a short script that would go out and test the, do whatever it needed to look at to decide whether that application was healthy and return a Boolean value back. And once that value was back in Ops Manager, it worked just like anything else, including, you know, the stuff that Microsoft provided out of the box. Similarly, you can do performance monitoring, return a numeric value via that shell command line. And that has worked great. People love it. It's kind of the ultimate escape hatch. The restriction, of course, is you are limited to a single command line. And so then you have to get your shell expertise out and you start splicing together stuff with semicolons and so forth to try to make something, do what you want to do there. And there was also the complication of the way we transmitted it down to the Linux computer was embedded in XML, and therefore angle brackets started causing trouble because of XML encoding and things of that sort. And so the new one now is that's in the 2016 release, is we have the concept of a script, not just a command line, the new template that can let you put a full script in. So you can go multi-line now. You can have a full shell script that you paste in. You can also start the script with the usual Linux pound bang, the shebang, that would tell you, oh, this is not a shell script. This is a Perl script or a Python script or whatever your favorite scripting language is. And you can now put that entire script into your into the Ops Manager console, into the wizard there. That script will be sent down to the Linux computer. It'll be executed with the specified interpreter, and then the results will again come back and either indicate health or be a numeric value that's treated as a performance value and then graphed along with everything else. So this, and also we fixed the XML encoding problem. So if that shell script or that Perl script or whatever, if you can run that directly on your Linux computer, you'll be able to paste it in to the Ops Manager console and you'll not encounter any difficulties or any of the idiosyncrasies that we had with the existing command line template. So there's a few other things that are new in System Center for the 2016 release. I want to just kind of do a quick run through what some of those things are. When you're doing a discovery of a Linux computer in the Ops Manager console, historically with the 2012 release, you needed to specify a set of credentials to be used to do that discovery. And this would causes problems in IT organizations where you really wanted the guy who are doing the day-to-day operations to not necessarily have their credentials, for example, into the Linux computers. And so now you can use the stored run-as credentials. These are safely encrypted, stored in the Ops Manager database. You can say, I want to do a discovery. I want to use that set of credentials, but I don't get to know what the actual username and password is. But it'll be used to connect into the Linux computer and to do that discovery. The command and script executions are now multi-threaded. This was occasionally, if you've had this problem in the past, you know what it is. But if you have a shell script, a command line that you're running, and it's a long-running script, other things can back up behind it in the 2012 release. We've fixed that in 2016, so that if you do have a long-running one, and then you have other things that need to run, they can, in fact, run in parallel, so because we're multi-threaded now on the agent on the Linux or Unix computer. I mentioned the OMI installation. This is the open management infrastructure component, an open source piece that's out there on the web. We use it both in the Ops Manager side of the world and in the Config Manager side of the world. And in 2012 release, if you install both Ops Manager and Config Manager onto your Linux computer, you actually end up with two copies of OMI. They don't conflict with each other, but you just end up with more than you need, if you will. And so we've now unified the installation processes. We'll recognize OMI is already there. If you've got Ops Manager and then install Config Manager or vice versa. And in fact, OMI is used by PowerShell DSC as well, and so that's now unified if you're using PowerShell DSC also. One of the customer requests we had was file system discovery. Linux has a lot of different file system types. Some of them are kind of weird. Some of them are sort of pseudo file systems. And the mechanism in Ops Manager that wants to monitor file systems for health may not be applicable to some of these weird file system types. Or maybe you've just got a file system that it's at a particular path name on a lot of different Linux systems, and for whatever reason, it comes and goes. You don't want to monitor it because it's very transient. And so we've now given you a way to exclude file systems either based on the path name or based on the file system type and say, hey, just don't bother monitoring those. I don't want to see spurious alerts related to those file system types. It doesn't make sense. I'll mention the diagnostic and recovery tasks. This is a place where, in the 2012 release, Linux was not quite up to par with what we've got on the Windows side of the world. You had to go edit some XML if you actually wanted to create a diagnostic or recovery task for your Linux computer. We now have the UI for doing that that matches the UI that's available on the Windows side of the world. So this list really reflects sort of what we've heard from customers and using Ops Manager with Linux and Unix with the 2012 release. We've tried to be responsive to those and cure some of the pain points, if you will, in the 2016 release. If we look on the Config Manager side of the world, I've talked mostly about Ops Manager at this point. Config Manager agents have historically, the current release, they're packaged as tar files with a shell script. We've had customers tell us, you know, get with the program, guys. This is Linux. Package these using native package formats. Give me an RPM. Give me a dead package for the appropriate Linux box. And so we've done that. We've now, and on the Unix machines, you know, LPP on an AIX box, PKG on a Solaris box, et cetera. Mentioned sharing the OMI instance on the Ops Manager side. Interesting request in the Config Manager world. The way that you find distribution points, of course, is based on this concept of site boundaries. In the Windows world, your Windows machines are typically joined to Active Directory. You've got the ability to make use of AD site boundaries. And in the Linux world, you're probably not domain joined. You probably don't have access to that information. And so what we've done is we've given you the ability to tell Config Manager, treat this Linux server as if it were part of a particular AD site. Even though it's not, treat it as if it were for the purposes of locating distribution points. And so we can now have a Linux or a Unix machine in Config Manager respect AD site boundaries when it goes to locate content, to download that content. Both slides I mentioned, of course, new Linux distros. This is one of the key things that we do, is to stay current on the Linux distros as they come out. Celeste 12 in the Ubuntu world, 15.10 just came out. You know, Red Hat 7 is up to 7.1. There'll be a 7.2 out here shortly. And so again, we work very hard to make sure that we stay current on the Linux distros that we're offering as part of System Center Operations Manager and System Center Configuration Manager. All right, unfortunately, I'm going to have to skip this demo because I don't have a video on that one. Let me talk now and kind of do the last 10 or 15 minutes here to talk about automating app configuration. This is where we'll talk about PowerShell desired state configuration. This is a declarative configuration platform. The idea is rather than writing a script to make happen what you want to have happen, you write down in a declarative fashion what you want the end state to look like, and you let PowerShell DSC do the make it so. And so you can also use this to protect against configuration drift. If you've got a statement of what it should look like, PowerShell DSC basically implements three fundamental functions. It can do a get, it can do a test, and it can do a set. And so if you have a statement of what things ought to look like, you can run the test function, and PowerShell DSC will tell you, you know, does it match what it's supposed to look like? Give you a Boolean true or false back again. The set function, of course, will make it so. The set function is idempotent, so that if you do it again and again, it figures out what is already okay and does not do that the second time. But the parts that may be out of conformance, it will make them into conformance. And so the set function is the way that you make it happen the first time, in which case it'll do 100% of the work. And then later on, you may come back and do the test function in order to see is anything drifted. And if so, then you can decide to do set again and put it back the way that it's supposed to be. And so we use language extensions, providers. There's a whole set of mechanisms that PowerShell DSC implements in order to make that declarative and idempotent configuration capability happen. So DSC, of course, was shipped originally for Windows as part of the Windows Server 2012 R2 release with a whole bunch of providers and mechanisms to do configuration on Windows machines. We have ported PowerShell DSC to Linux. And so just like you can, using the same kind of configuration language that you would on the Windows side of the world, you can use that for configuring your Linux servers and verifying configuration drift, just like you would with Windows machines. Again, another step in our broader commitment to heterogeneous management. Again, you've got Windows, you've got Linux, you've got a heterogeneous world out there. Most customers do. We want to be able to participate in that. And so you can do your Linux configuration with that same syntax that you would use on the Windows side of the world. Now, some of the constructs are very similar. So in the Windows side of the world, you can, you know, you can do configuration with a particular file. You can do file configuration on the Linux side of the world. The permissions are a little different on the Linux side of the world, so that part is a little bit different. In the Linux world, you can install packages, so install an RPM package or a deb package. You can set up services in Linux, you know, using systemd or using init, or depending upon which service manager exists in the Linux world, just like you can set up services on the Windows side of the world, set up Linux users and groups, etc. So there's a whole set of providers that we have implemented. I'll show those here in a second. We have upgraded. We shipped PowerShell DSC for Linux 1.0 back in May. We shipped the 1.1 version here in October. The key thing with the 1.1 version is the tie-in with Azure automation. And so this demo is working, and I'll show in a second here how you can use PowerShell DSC with Azure automation to do Linux server configuration. This is an open source project. This is the new Microsoft PowerShell DSC for Linux. It's out there on GitHub. You can see all of the source code. It does, again, require this OMI component, which is also out there. I've listed all the different Linux distros that we support. This list is intended and is entirely consistent with the set of distros that are supported by System Center Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, et cetera. So we've tried to be consistent there in our Linux distro support. The built-in resources, you can see some of the ones I've mentioned, file. An interesting one in the Linux world is file line. A whole lot of Linux configuration is done by putting lines into configuration files. And so on the Windows side of the world, file line doesn't make quite so much sense. Really useful on the Linux side of the world to add a line to a configuration file, for example. So there's about 10 resource providers that we've got for Linux. There's another set out there that are in the PowerShell gallery for some experimental networking configuration. We've got one for managing Linux firewalls that handles the four main types of Linux firewall. Of course, this is the thing about Linux, is one firewall is never good enough, and one service manager is never good enough. There's always multiple choices. This makes life a little more complicated, and we've tried to give you an easy way to manage across those differences using the different providers that we have implemented here. So this is an example configuration. You may see this is a little bit oversimplified, but you can see we're declaring that this configuration needs the httpd package installed, and the package manager on this particular machine is yum, because this is an RPM package on a CentOS machine, for example. I need the mod SSL package installed, and I want this all set up as the Apache service running under the init controller. So this is gives you that a flavor of what the syntax looks like. This one's probably not complete enough to be useful, but we'll take a look here in a second at one that is a little bit more filled out. So I'm going to shift over here now to a demo. And in this case, I'm going to illustrate DSC running from Azure. This, of course, is the Azure preview portal that I can see all the different resources and things that I have running. I'm going to go look at automation accounts. So this is the area of Azure that does automation. And this particular automation account is the one that I've got set up for demo purposes here. I've got 9 nodes. These are servers. These are actually on-premises servers. I'm using Azure automation to do configuration of servers that are actually on-premises in my data center. So I'm rather than set up System Center Orchestrator or System Center SMA, you know, on-premises in my data center environment, I'm going to make use of Azure automation to drive that. And I've got a few servers in here that do, in fact, already have configurations on them. 3 of these have a WordPress configuration, which is going to Apache plus the WordPress modules. One of these has a MySQL server configuration on it. And then there are 5 other Linux boxes here that don't have any configuration on them at all. And in a minute here, we'll go through and actually do configuration there. It's worthwhile looking at some of the modules that are installed here. These are PowerShell modules, and there's a couple of these that you see that start with NX. And so our PowerShell DSC modules for Linux and Unix, I guess Linux at this point, we haven't done Unix there, we start those modules with NX, so that you see the couple that are listed here are the ones that enable us to do PowerShell DSC for Linux from this configuration. So let's move back here and take a look at these DSC nodes. And I'm going to drill down onto this guy. And the node configuration. All right. I'm going to assign this node. And I'm going to assign WordPress onto this particular node. So that node is running Linux. It does not have any particular configuration on it. It's a very vanilla configuration. And so I'm going to assign that configuration onto that node. Now, while that's happening, normally the node's going to wake up periodically. It's going to talk to Azure and say, what do I need to do here? Now, in order for demo purposes, I'm going to go kick it in the pants and say, let's go do it right now. And so I've got a command line set up here on this Linux machine that's going to run, and this is going to go off in the background and talk to Azure, bring down that configuration, and make the right thing happen. Now let's go take, while that's happening, just briefly in the background, I'm going to go take a look at at this DSC configuration. If we view the configuration source for this, again, you'll see configuration information that looks like what I showed in the slide earlier. And in this case, we've got several Apache packages we're going to install. We've got a little for loop here. We're going to install HTTPD, mod.ssl, PHP, PHP MySQL. We've got some files that we want to have created. You see NX file, another NX file. In some cases, we have a file. In other cases, we have a directory that we're creating. Another file. Again, we're specifying Linux-style permissions, 755 in terms of read-write access. We want this to be connected to port another file, more files that need to be created. You can also do things in DSC when you need a script, when the existing providers don't give you what you need. So in this case, we're actually going to go run a shell script here to mount the appropriate file systems. And again, we have the test script that tells us whether or not it's already set correctly. There's the get script and the set script. So you'll see that get, test, and set function show through here. We'll get WordPress installed. We'll set up, we need to fix up some settings for SE Linux. And then finally, we're going to set up some WordPress configuration. This is a whole bunch of inline content that's going to show up in a file. And finally, we're going to set up the service to run under systemd that will respond on WordPress. So let's tilt back and take a look here. This looks like this has finished. Okay, that's good. If we go into the browser, previously I had browsed this WordPress site, and it was file not found. You know, there was nothing there. There was nothing installed. If this is working correctly now, I will be able to, yes. So WordPress has been installed along with the Apache web server, and it's now responding to requests that are coming. So that installation took less than a couple of minutes. This really annoys the Windows people when we do demos because it is so fast sometimes to get these things set up and installed on the Linux systems compared to how long that it takes on the Windows side of the world. So very, very happens very quickly. So that gives you a quick view of how to use PowerShell DSC and how to do it from the Azure side of the world. Also, if we go back here, we will see now, let me close a couple of these. If we go look at our resources now, our DSC nodes, we'll see that this particular machine now has the WordPress configuration installed on it. Azure Automation now knows that that has been completed and that we are compliant with that state. So in other words, if we go back and to run the test function again, the PowerShell DSC will determine that, in fact, yes, it does have the correct configuration on it. Looks like one of these guys here, this earlier one, you can see an example of not compliant, that whatever got installed, somebody went and changed something on that one, and then configuration drift was detected on that particular Linux computer. Okay, so let's do the quick wrap-up here. We've talked about basic capabilities for System Center to manage Linux and Unix. Talked about how we can go up from the operating system level and talk about the applications that you may be running in the Linux environment. And frankly, we want to emphasize that Microsoft is committed to Linux and Unix. This is not some flash in the pan. We've been doing this for a number of years. We've got a significant business at this point doing systems management for Linux and for Unix operating systems. And so this is something we're committed to. We're continuing to enhance, to add value. We want to get more open source project covered. And so this is an integral part of our offering. It's part of the product that Microsoft brings and to enable you to operate in a heterogeneous environment. So thank you for your time here. Please do fill out the evaluations and continue your Ignite learning path. Again, I do have buttons and stickers up here, so I will put these out here in just a second. Any questions at this point, or I'm happy to kind of hang around for a few minutes and cover questions one-on-one up front here. Yes? The question is about the OMI install and whether it's going to get any easier or not. So, you know, if you're installing Ops Manager or Config Manager, OMI is built into that agent package that you install, so you don't have to do something separate there. With PowerShell DSC, in the original preview that we did, you had to do a bunch of manual steps there. With the PowerShell DSC 1.0 and the 1.1, that's gotten much simpler. There actually are RPM and dev packages up on the website that you can download. And so we've, again, yes, we have done quite a bit of work there from the original preview.
And partial configuration is supported?
Partial configuration in the 1.1 version is not supported yet. So we definitely have that. There's some capabilities in PowerShell DSC on the Windows side of the world, like partial configuration, that are not there yet on Linux. We're working on it. Yes, another question. So the question is about, can I use OMS, the new Operations Management Suite, with Linux machines? And the answer is yes. Through Ops Manager, rather than going direct with the Linux agent. Not at this point. At this point, the plans on the Linux side, you know, do go through direct. Now, you know, to the degree that a Linux machine is reporting into Ops Manager, I'm trying to think, is there anything going to useful come through that path? And I think not. I think everything on the Linux side is going to go direct. Any other questions? Yes. Right. So question about Docker. So Docker, of course, being the very popular container management capability. So we're doing a lot of work with Docker. We're trying to decide whether a Docker management pack makes sense. We're trying to figure out exactly, so how do you monitor what goes on inside a Docker container? Right. Right. So, yeah, I think a Docker management pack probably does make sense. We're sort of trying to figure out exactly what it ought to do and what it ought to report on. So, yes, I would expect there's a Docker management pack in our future here. No specifics yet, but I'm sure there will be. Okay, thank you very much, and I will put these out here for you.
I start a chain with my thought. Talk is cheap.